The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Howard, Shavua Tov. Who would dare to tell you that you're wrong? I wouldn't think that anybody would have the audacity. But
you'd be amazed.
There are a few little snippets of stories. First of all, the attack on Salman Rushdie. And I know, I'm sure that you guys have spoken a lot about it, but we can't look at that particular attack in isolation because there's lots of speculation as to whether the individual concerned acted by himself or whether he was in fact in touch with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard before the attack took place. Mm. But of course, the Iranian regime have used the opportunity to say, even if the revenge comes 30 years later, we will take out our revenge on everything that has been happening. So this was a great opportunity for them to try to link that attack to many other things that have gone on, which have seemingly not had revenge exacted yet. And so the warning is that 30 years can pass and revenge will be exacted on all of the things that have happened. And of course, particularly they're referring to the death of General Soleimani, but of course many other things that have happened, many other attacks that have taken place against Iranian targets in recent times. And what they're warning is that, you know, the Rushdie attack shows that there will never ever be a moment when there's a sunset on the revenge that they wish to exact. So that's, you know, an interesting thing that we need to just put in the back of our minds and recall that, you know, the war with Iran doesn't seem to ever end. Yeah. Israeli musician maestro Tzvika Pick passed away yesterday at the age of 72. A fascinating story. Henryk Pick was what he was born in Poland. And then at the age of 8, his family made Aliyah to Israel. He had already studied classical music. His father before him and his uncle were great musicians, professors and in the world of classical music. He, of course, was a pop cult, from the pop cult more than classic, but he was classically trained, known as the maestro, involved in many TV shows and very, very colorful and very well known. His daughter Daniela went on to marry Quentin Tarantino, who's a very commonly seen and well-known figure around Jerusalem, around Tel Aviv, in the parks, the children's parks, where he takes his children to play. He's quite well-known and commonly seen around the area on his bicycle. That's Quentin Tarantino. But back to Tzvika Pick, of course, composed so many songs, most famously Diva, the song that won the Eurovision, sung by Dan International.
Some years ago, I remember that.
And he composed so many other songs that were performed in the Eurovision, not only ones that were performed by Israeli singers. Of course, Light the Candle, the Sarit Haddad song that was also performed in the Eurovision, was his composition. And he also composed songs for entrance in the Eurovision, who represented other countries, Ukraine and others. So a very well-known individual. He did suffer a stroke some time ago, and it's not exactly clear what the cause of his death was, but he will certainly be remembered in the Israeli music industry and, of course, for so many of the songs that he's well known for.
Wow. And then, of course, the big story over the weekend, 8 people were injured in a shooting attack near the Western Wall in Jerusalem. That was late Saturday night. Give us some information about this.
Well, initially it was thought that there was more than one person involved in this particular terror attack, because the attack took place in 2 separate locations near to the area around the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. But it seems as if though it was the same person who operated just in 2 different locations. The first attack taking place right near to the bus station which services the Western Wall area. People who visited Jerusalem and have caught a bus to the Western Wall would almost certainly have used that bus stop in order to get off or on when visiting the Kotel. Apparently, as a bus drove away, there was gunfire that was aimed at this particular bus. A number of people were injured on the bus as it drove away. Then it seems as if the individual moved away from that area, went nearer to where the King David's Tomb area is, the parking area there, and also carried out a shooting attack against a number of individuals, some of whom were quite seriously injured. In all, 8 people were injured in this attack, 2 of whom are considered to be seriously injured. One of the seriously injured is a woman who was very, very heavily pregnant in her 30s, was taken to hospital. She had an emergency cesarean section to deliver her baby. She is in a serious but stable condition. Her baby that has been delivered as a result of this attack is also in a serious but stable condition. So many stories about hashgacha pratit, how people manage to somehow escape being seriously injured or injured in the attack, people who were around there at the time. Pictures of a young man's shirt that was torn on the shoulder where he had been shot, but he himself was hardly injured. So the shirt was ripped on the shoulder area, but he suffered very, very light injuries to himself. 1 millimeter here or there could have been a significant difference in the way that he had been injured. He and his brother happened to be in the attack, both of whom were injured, both of whom were saved and helped to save other people, administered first aid in the attack. Quite a serious attack. A story about a family of people who were visiting from Williamsburg in New York, from the Hasidic Satmar sect. 4 of them were injured in the attack. This is a very, very serious incident right at the heart of Jerusalem, right in the area of the Old City. The individual who carried out the attack escaped quite quickly. He was being sought, and then he decided to turn himself in. He arrived at a police station in Jerusalem, still carrying the weapon that he had used to carry out the attack, also with a knife in his hand, and gave himself over to the police forces in Jerusalem. Amir Sidawi, apparently someone who had already been known to the police for criminal activities, who'd served some time in prison, carried out this attack. We understand that he is a Jerusalem resident, and so still many, many stories, information to come out about the attack. Fortunately, so far, no deaths to report, although, as I've said before, there are people who are seriously wounded and who will take some time to recover. We hope that they will all fully recover in the fullness of time. And of course, the young mother and her baby will also recover from this attack and will be able to grow up in order to hopefully tell the story about how miraculously they were saved in spite of being involved in this very, very tragic attack.
Terrible. But let's hope everybody will be well. Israel has experienced a deadly week on the roads as well, with 19 people being killed in road accidents. What's happening on the roads in Israel?
So many different stories about how people have been killed in the roads. One of the newspapers writing a subtext saying, "Waze will only help you reach your destination if you keep your eyes on the road." And therein potentially lies the heart of the problem. Let's start with the big story, the bus accident.
Anthony, are you? Now we can hear you.
A bus careered out of control into a group of waiting people at a bus stop in Jerusalem. A mother and her 2 young daughters were killed in this accident late on Thursday. A very, very tragic accident indeed. The bus driver himself, it's not exactly clear what contributed to the accident and how it happened, whether it was negligence on the part of the driver or something else. The driver himself had been taken in for questioning in order to understand exactly what went down. But that was a very, very tragic accident and could really have resulted in many more deaths than the ones that were reported. But still, to see the 3 bodies lined up at the funeral, the mother and then 2 small daughters lying next to her, was just heart-wrenching. And, of course, lives just ripped apart so unnecessarily. Another 2 deaths were caused when 2 bus drivers were driving along a highway, noticed an accident on the opposite side of the highway, decided that they would cross over the highway by foot in order to help the accident on the other side, the people who had been involved in the accident on the other side. Both of them were hit by passing cars and killed while going to perform a mitzvah. There is a notion that says people don't come to harm when going to or coming from performing a mitzvah. Unfortunately, in this case, it didn't happen like that, because these two individuals had the intention of going to help the people on the other side of the road and unfortunately were unable to do that. Another story about a young girl who was visiting her family from Sderot, obviously in the aftermath of the war, decided to come to Petah Tikva to visit members of her family, was crossing over on a crossing on a busy road and was killed on the crossing. So many reports like that, and so many of the deaths, unfortunately, pedestrians. President Herzog has tweeted asking people to remain careful while driving, riding, or walking on any road and every intersection. And then he said, referring at that stage to the 18 lives that had been lost at the time that he was sending this message out, he said, 18 worlds were destroyed in 1 week. So the president has really weighed in and asking people just to be more cautious, to be more aware of what's going on traffic-wise. Keep your eyes on the road, whether you're a pedestrian or a driver. For Israel, losing 19 lives in 1 week on road accidents is a very, very deadly week on the roads for a small country like Israel.
Terrible, terrible indeed. Israel has been accused of carrying out an attack in Syria that killed 3 people. What is known about this attack?
So this is an attack which apparently was carried out last night, was directed at targets near Tartus, which is on the coast of Syria, as well as near Damascus, all last night. We understand that 3 Syrian soldiers have been killed and 3 others were injured. These are reports which are coming from Syrian press. Nothing has been reported officially from the Israeli side, no reports from the IDF or from the Israeli government, or even indications that Israel may have been involved in this. But we understand that these attacks were carried out against Iranian bases, air bases, which are located in that particular area. And so it seems quite likely, it seems conceivable that these attacks could have been carried out by the IDF. We understand that some of the attacks were carried out by airplanes that were flying over Lebanon, while others were carried out from over the Mediterranean Sea. And of course, this report comes just a few days after the Syrian media reported that Israeli tanks had actually fired towards observation posts in the Quneitra region of Syria near to the border with Israel on that particular occasion. 3 people were injured. And we understand that that location was targeted because it belonged, those posts belonged to Hezbollah. So lots and lots of tension along the Syrian border right now, and continued attacks against Syrian targets, even though the Syrian media, of course, do report that anti-aircraft fire was used and many of the missiles that were directed towards Syria were intercepted, were successfully intercepted. This is rhetoric that we have become accustomed to hearing. But ultimately, those targets that were in the eyesight of the what we believe to be the Israeli planes were ultimately hit, and those people were killed. So again, lots of activity going on in Syria, the Israeli intelligence continuing to keep an eye on it and to make sure that in the event that things might be getting a little out of control, Israel will continue to attack those. And also, just as a related subject, it was reported by Lebanese media that the Israeli government had rejected the offer that had been made by Lebanon on the issue of the maritime borders, that Avi Hochstein, the U.S. mediator who's mediating the particular issue, had come to Israel and had reported that the Israeli government had rejected the offer. I think that the more correct report should say that Israel has yet to respond formally to the offer, which I guess means that there is some discussion to be held, that it's not just an automatic, yes, we'll grab it with both hands situation, that there is something in it which perhaps the Israeli government doesn't like, and hence perhaps the reports that they haven't accepted the offer. But clearly that maritime border issue still remains unresolved, even though to me at least it seemed reasonably clear what the answer should be. But I think that the devil lies in the detail, and perhaps we are not familiar with all the little
nuances.
Yeah, the big picture may be clear, but they are probably all little bits and pieces within the, you know, negotiating a square meter here and a square meter there, all of which becomes highly important when considering the fact that gas, of course, is being extracted from every additional square meter that can be gained on one side or the other.
It's very interesting that there wasn't a lot of international, in fact, there was no international condemnation of this, which I thought was quite fascinating as well, which also made me think that this is all very, very much coordinated with Israel's friends and allies.
I think that there is some level of coordination. I think also that there are so many other big stories going on in the international press right now that, you know, some of these things just don't even make it onto the front pages because of, you know, the war in Ukraine and because of Russia's overtures to North Korea and because of so many other things that are going on the front pages, the cost of living and the inflation and the petrol price, things like that seem to be occupying people's thoughts, and that particularly the drought and the heat wave that's being experienced in Europe right now also occupying front pages. And so I think that this is just one of those stories that's sort of less important, at least for now.
Absolutely right, Anthony Reich. Thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.